Holy potatoes, Batwoman! We have an incredible episode because we're breaking down not only last week's episode, which we missed, but it's okay, we had a holiday. So now we're going over season one, episode 8, A Mad Tea Party. And of course, tonight wouldn't be tonight without Crisis on Infinite Earth. So let's talk about it.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What? Oh my goodness, it's been so long. We've missed you. So welcome to the Batwoman After Show. Lots of stuff to talk about, but again, hello from us. I'm your host, Allie Kona Bradford, joined by two very wonderful ladies. Say hello.
Hi. Hello. Hi, Samantha.
And I'm Katie Kawamoto. So.
Yay! And you, of course, are hosting the show with us. So if this is your first time here, then just know that we cut off the table and we give it to you. That's why. So join us live in the chat. Use hashtag ABTV Batwoman and everything on social media and let us know what you think. And if you're not watching live, it is A-OK because you can still leave comments below. But let's start with some overall thoughts. Tell me who you love, who you hate this episode, and Samantha.
It looks like a lot of people are just loving Clark retiring. They're saying like how much they love that, you know, he's not in the cape and all that stuff. So that was cool with the Smallville reference. Other people want to see that moment with Beth and Kate. Like they want that to happen because Kara said it could be possible.
Okay.
So they're like, oh, we want it. Are we going to get it? Is it going to happen?
Nice.
So a lot of good things to talk about.
Awesome. I mean, we'll talk about Tom Welling. We will. Okay, but let's cover a little bit of last week's episode because ding dong, the witch is dead. How do we feel about Catherine finally being like...
Okay, first of all, I don't really believe anyone's ever dead in this universe. So, I mean...
Batwoman?
We'll see. I just have they always bring people back. But, I mean, she's had it coming, but I don't know if I believe that she's actually going to stay dead.
She's dead.
Good. I mean, right? I don't think she's coming back. There's no Lazarus Pits in Batwoman. I'm sorry. But I'm curious to see what our hosts at home think, if they're happy, if they're empathetic and feeling bad for her. Because right now, the only person I feel bad for is Mary having to witness her mother die.
Yes.
Now, do you think that because her mother is a mother, that she deserves to at least live out and watch Mary flourish?
Well, yeah, of course. You can't. I would never wish ill on someone. I mean, I think that, of course, she deserves that, and it's going to be a bummer for Mary because she's kind of had her whole entire world crumble, and now it's just there's not even a chance for her to reconcile with that anger that she had before.
That's an excellent point. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, and it's really like amping Mary up to something greater because she has so much loss and so much confusion. So it's just giving her character a catapult to see... Are they going to give her something more?
Right.
Then, you know.
But while it's amping her up, it's also breaking down her relationship with Kate. Because Kate kept on saying, you know, you're my sister. But at the same time, Beth is a little bit more my sister. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't saying it directly, literally, but
Beth
in her
actions.
Beth
is my blood sister, basically.
Right. Yeah. And now Alice has just done cross the line at this point. So... There were some times where Alice was our hashtag badass beast. Not quite sure she deserves that title anymore, ladies.
No.
Not feeling it. And what do some of our co-hosts at home think about Catherine? Did they say anything about her?
Yeah, they're saying how, like, she deserved to die, which was kind of mean. Ivan Soto, I'm going to say, does she really need to deserve to die? I get it. We get it. But he's very strong with that opinion. Other people are saying, like, he said that it gave him the biggest smile on his face.
Okay.
You know? So people really aren't digging the Catherine. But Logan Knight said, Catherine dying made me happy. Plus, I didn't feel bad since she brought it on herself.
I agree. I agree. I am sad that Mary had to witness her mother die because, again, I think this news is still fresh to her that her mom is a bad person. And I thought it was a really interesting choice that right before her mom died, she was, you know, receiving this humanitarian award. And her teleprompter obviously went rogue and she's confessing all these things to the world. And part of me is like, okay. So you see Alice standing in the back of the room, and you're like, since I see you, I'm just going to keep reading what's on this teleprompter. What? Like, I was like, no. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I think it was just her fear kicked in, of course. And when anytime someone's made, like, actual fear kicks in, it kind of just changes things. Yeah. She didn't know what Alice would do. I don't think she knew Alice could kill everybody there. She didn't know.
That's true.
Yeah.
The only bummer about that is, though, she made it seem like, well, I guess it was written that way, but she made the dad now seem like a bad person. Mm-hmm. And now he's being arrested for her death when it wasn't even him.
Domino effect, though. Like, just taking down everybody else with you.
Right.
See, we got some positive stuff.
Okay.
Grayson Ryan, he was like, she didn't deserve to die. She just needed to leave. I agree. They could have removed her in some other way, shape, or form.
Right.
Other people are saying that I didn't know about getting killed because that was really messed up. And it kind of messes up, I guess, the storyline. I'm kind of confused on how they quoted that. But I feel like that amps up the storyline because she could come back. Like you said, or she could be gone forever, and then we just see where the cards lie with Mary.
Right.
So,
well, let's talk a little bit about Sophie also, because I think we covered Catherine, right? We got to get into Crisis. But want to talk about Sophie and Ty, because Sophie obviously in a prior episode confessed her undying love to Kate, and Kate was like, you know what, girl? I think I've moved on. And so then Sophie goes back to her boo, Tyler. I'm like, girl, get your life together, first of all.
I thought that, like, two-thirds of the stuff that happened in this episode was super predictable, though.
Uh-huh.
Like, we knew she was going to tell the dad. We knew that it was all going to cave in on her when her husband found out. So, like, a part of me, like, wasn't surprised.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but, I mean, it was interesting how, okay, so Sophie is stuck in this room with her ex, if you will, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, handcuffed together and tied together, and the only thing that can break us apart is her engagement ring, which was conveniently just there?
Yeah.
No, it was because I think it was because she was wearing
it.
Was
she still...
Yeah.
Oh, okay, because she's trying to get back together.
Yeah.
Got it.
They're not, like, apart at that point, so, yeah.
Well, either way,
yeah.
You know, Tyler kind of works it out of her that he's like, okay, so you love me. Are you in love with me? Are you over Kate? And she's like, I mean, I love you. I'm like, okay.
She didn't answer the question.
Right.
He called her out for that.
So I'm going to say this, okay? So then my badass beast is going to be Tyler for once. Because look, it is not his fault that his woman lied to him and had a relationship with somebody else that they both know. What? It's not his fault. But the reason I call him my badass beast is because I think it takes a really strong person to be able to confront the woman or man that you love, obviously his spouse, and honestly say, like, are you in love with me? Like, that's such a hard question when you think the answer might not play in your favor. Mm-hmm. And then when it doesn't, for him to have the strength to say, you know what? I'm out. And if the only thing I disagree with was him saying, if you come to the conclusion that your future is what I have in my mind, the kids, the dog, or whatever, then I'll be here. Maybe I won't be. And I was like, no, boo-boo, just say I won't be here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or one or the other, I felt like. This was weird that he said both to me. I don't know. I think it was just weird that he said both things to me. Like, I'll be here or I won't be. Like, well, which one is it?
I mean, I think what he's trying to say is it's like,
I may or may not.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to wait for you. Like, if something better comes along, then something better comes along.
Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I hope you guys at home at least found that admirable. Because I found myself when this season first started not liking him, and then I had to pull back and realize that it is not his fault he's in this situation.
Right.
And that he's willing to be like, I don't want to accept this bull. Like, this is bull. Like, I don't have to deal with this. We need to do something about this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good that he acknowledged it now.
Right.
Instead of continue to play a game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or believe her.
Right.
When we all know the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. The last thing I think I want to hit about on this episode is Alice with her father. Because she obviously has her father in captivity while Mouse goes and pretends to be him or whatever. And she has this conversation with him. And she's like, all I want from you is an apology. Right? And he gave this like really heartfelt, good apology. But she made some excellent points. Like, Dad, this woman who you didn't know very long told you she found these bone fragments, and you just believed her. Like, you didn't even go to the lab and try to have them tested to see if it really was me. How could you do that? Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, you know, I was like, what a chicken poop. That's the kind PG version of chicken poop. He's a chicken poop. Because it was easier for him to let go of the idea of continuously waking up hoping to find her, to just have closure and think she's dead. Yeah. Thoughts, comments, concerns. Do we agree? Do we disagree? Does this tick you off?
It's just heartbreaking because as a parent or spouse, you want to be that person's everything, right? Mm-hmm. Or you think that you are that person's everything and they would do anything in the world to protect you, save you. And that's just proof that he didn't.
Yeah.
And he'd rather have given up. And he kind of admits it by saying, like, not having right answers to her questions or her counteractions.
Right.
So it's sad because I don't know. I don't know a lot of parents that would just be like, yes, okay.
So then how about this? Let me ask you this. If your father, mother, whoever hurt you in that same way gave you that type of apology where, you know, they broke down and made themselves vulnerable and admitted that they were wrong, would you accept their apology? Or would you go Alice Rogue?
I don't think I would ever go Alice Rogue. I just as me as a person, I don't think I could ever do that. I think it might take time, but mm-hmm. I think I would understand, like, get around to it eventually if they actually were genuine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Curious. Mm-hmm. Co-host, give me some shout-outs. Some of them are saying, let me know who's saying what.
Chris Mo says people can hate him. He's okay. Ivan Soto's, he continues to say that conversation was heartbreaking. Renji 9098.
Hey,
hi. He said Alice's madness is pretty much justified. I don't condone her killing, of course, though.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I think it was a good reminder that she said something about the fact that she was in captivity for 11 years. And I was like, whoa.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
No wonder she's crazy.
Right. And I couldn't. But at the same time, then I thought about the dad and I thought, gosh, I couldn't imagine what it would feel like to be him, to think, okay, my daughter is literally psychotic and it's kind of my fault. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you even live with that?
He shouldn't have given up.
I know.
He shouldn't have given up.
Okay, well. Hashtag I hate him. Loki. Okay, so I feel like if there's anything else we left out about last week's episode, start over. If there is anything that we left out for last week's episode that you would like us to talk about, speak now or forever hold your peace, because we have to get into crisis. 10 seconds. Type as fast as you can. In the meantime, while you're typing, I know, Katie, you want to share something really special with some of our...
Yeah, if you guys are watching us and you like our show, we want to say thank you so much for you guys watching us. It's because of you that we're here every single week. If you are on YouTube right now, please give us some comments, but also give us a like and a thumbs up on iTunes as well and a 5-star rating. All of those things help us continue to give you guys content that you love, so we appreciate it. So please like, subscribe, and thanks for making us the ESPN of TV Talk.
Ta-da. Okay, so comments before we move on. Anybody?
Just the same things are pretty much being said. Like, all Logan Knight wanted to make a comment about not dating people like Sophie because there's too much back and forth. We have some comments about how JJ said he stopped feeling bad for Alice after she killed that old couple.
Ooh, yeah.
So, like, there's no remorse.
Basically, we all have turned against Alice.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Cool. All right, so let's get into crisis, people. So much part two. So, like, last night's episode, they ended with Oliver Queen dying, right?
And yes.
I cover the Arrow show, so I know entire season, all they've talked about is Arrow, Oliver dying. And I'm like, this can't be real, guys. Like, they're talking about it way too much. So then, of course, we start this episode, they're like, pouring one out for the homie. I was like, anybody else feel like this is anticlimactic? A little like...
I mean, I haven't watched Arrow, but I can see why it would feel kind of like, okay, well, we already knew it was coming, and so now you kind of just fizzled out, cut and paste.
Yeah, it was... I don't know. I knew they were going to try to bring him back, because anything in Oliver universe, there is the Lazarus Pits. So for anyone who doesn't watch Arrow, it's been a part of for a long, long time. And basically, as I mentioned, you dump somebody in, you bring anybody back to life, but when they come back, they're a little cuckoo, they don't have their soul, and it takes a long time to get it back. Hence, Sarah Lance was in the Lazarus Pits. She came back.
Yes.
Anyways, just to catch some of y'all up to speed as to what is going on. So then they have this clever idea that they're going to toss him into the pits, bring him back. I'm like, okay, guys. And it was nice. I mean, overall, did we like seeing all these characters? Because I have my own opinions about crossovers.
Okay, I did and I didn't.
Okay.
I did because obviously it's quite a feat to, A, put this together and make it work.
Yeah.
But it is a lot for your brain to handle.
Right.
Like, I was just like, you guys saw me. I was just like, what now? Like, more, like, you're just piling on so many characters.
Yeah.
That I love it because of the nostalgia. Like, obviously, Tom Welling.
Okay. Hello.
I have to love that. Being the person who watched Smallville, like, you have to like that they're finally connecting him and putting him into Superman and like that. But I just needed a break, like, just a breather to be like, okay, just slow down a bit. Mm-hmm. I think it was just...
Uh-huh.
And that's why I was just like, okay, it needs to be a little bit mellowed down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 5 episodes, you know, they're really cramming it up. Like, maybe if they did 10,
right,
this would be amazing. I mean, it is amazing. I enjoyed it because, personally, these are people we don't see it all the time, obviously, as we're watching Batwoman. So it's cool to see, like, how they all intertwine.
Right.
But it is a lot.
I just know that on my notes, I was like, okay, Earth 74, Earth 147, Earth 99, Earth 75, Earth 90s. I'm like, what Earth am I on again, guys? Mm-hmm. And I've always been one to be so sorry, friends at home. I have always hated crossovers. Like, hated them and not afraid to say it while the rest of the panel geeks out and they're like, we love it. So all I will say is this one is not as terrible as some of the ones in the past, because there have definitely been ones in the past where I'm like, we're fighting aliens that are taking over the planet. This is not work with Arrow, guys. So, yeah, it is different. You have the different DC worlds being brought together, and again, you do have something like Batwoman or Arrow, which tends to be a little bit more grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people running around in spandex is super reality, but they don't have these weird, crazy powers. They're just humans that want to make the city a better place. But then you have other people like Flash and Supergirl with, like, aliens and monsters and large octopuses that you're like... If you don't watch those shows, like, this is just a weird mind fluff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. Getting off the soapbox, talking about the episode, we do find out that we get to see Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
Highly anticipated, and I'm curious to know, for you guys and also co-hosts at home, were we excited? Did we feel let down? Did we like him? Did we like the actor that they chose? Because he's sort of a special someone. Thoughts?
I mean... We finally saw Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't know if that was ever happening. Granted, it wasn't her version of Batman.
Right.
But I feel like part of me is more just like, is this the only time we're going to see Batman now in the whole show?
I don't know. I mean, I like the fact that I think it was Ray that said, whoa, Bruce Wayne is the Dark Knight?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah.
Ugh. I did like that.
It's funny. I mean, I feel like they did try to throw some references about the film or, like, other things, because I think Superman was like, well, this is not the first time I've, like, fought myself.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Homage to the past.
Yeah.
But, yeah, are we loving this version of Bruce Wayne?
He's mean.
He's very mean. He's old and he's cranky.
He's so cranky. It's unbelievable.
It's... interesting, because Bruce Wayne has always been that person who's like, rah, 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 and like dark, hence Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. But this version of him is just plain evil and has murdered people, which is a little upsetting.
Including Superman?
Right. Yeah.
Like,
he's not lovable. Like,
no.
Dark Knight, obviously, or Bruce and other stuff, even though he's cranky and all that, you still love him.
Right.
There is no lovable quality.
No.
At all.
Not at all. And those of you who do not know, he is the actor that played Batman's voice in the animated series.
Correct.
Yeah. So just letting you guys know that's why he was chosen, which is neat. It's neat that they're bringing people back into the mix, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say this, you guys can agree or disagree, because I think Batman has changed so much since we, the public, have seen him on screen. Mm-hmm. And I'm referring to, like, back in the 90s when we had the comic book movies that were very, like, comic-y and character-y, and now it's so immersed dark. In reality and dark yeah. that I don't mind the happier version.
Yeah.
I sort of miss it. So when we got this version of Bruce Wayne, I was like, okay.
Yeah, because it just keeps getting darker and darker and darker.
Right.
To where, like, you lose the nostalgia of, like, Batman and Robin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Like, the good times. I mean, it's not surprising that she's not the paragon of hope, just saying.
I mean. Oh, goodness. Oh, gosh, I was going to say something that totally, like, made me lose my mind.
Well, people are loving it. People are super happy. They enjoy seeing Kevin Conroy acting or playing as Bruce. Yeah. So there's no negative feedback. It's a bold move, but it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going all out. They're doing, making choices that I did not think would all work out. Like, I thought it was a great episode.
Right.
Considering you have all these characters to manage. But yeah, it was. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Because it's hard, like you said, to mash up all these different things. Universes and worlds and characters.
It was interesting to see Lex Luthor because, like, I've watched Supergirl. I haven't watched it consistently, so yeah. I've not seen this version of him. Mm-hmm. And I am so married to the Smallville version, which is like a decade ago. But still, it's just such a different version. So when I saw this guy going around from universe to universe and killing all the Supermans, I was like, I don't know how I feel about you, dude.
Kind of like how Tom Welling was, like, I don't know who you are.
Right, like, right.
What?
Still hot, by the way, ladies. Still hot. He's a little husky, but he's still hot. Anyway, I digress. We can make this whole episode about him and be fine. But going back into the present, and this is so irrelevant, but since we're talking about Buff and the guys really don't care, but Luke has abs.
Mm-hmm. I think even Kate was surprised by that.
I like how she was like, don't make it weird. Because Supergirl's like, oh, he's kind of hot. No.
She was like, no.
Let's stop you right now.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about, like, the paradigm of hope and courage. Mm-hmm. I feel like I saw that one coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually put in my notes, Kate is the paragon of, was it courage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize that they didn't imply that it was her until they went to go see Batman. I'm like, wait, she's not. I was like, they didn't mean her. Like, I legit thought they meant her right away.
Oh, so I think it's like the bat is the future.
That I thought so, too. And then,
And then I found out, oh, wait. Oh, okay. She's not. Oh,
yeah.
She is.
Yeah. I'm going to jump into, there's so many dang people, but I'm going to jump back into, I want to talk about Sarah Lance, who went with Mia to try to figure out this whole Lazarus Pit thing. Yes. And we get Constantine
back.
Which is nice, because Constantine was originally part of Arrow, and then he got his own series on the CW Seed, if any of you guys watch it.
It was on CW, and then it got canceled.
Wasn't it on the Seed?
No, like, it was on, like, they had the actual Constantine show for, like, I think one season before it got canceled. Then they revived it as an animated show, I believe, on CW.
Okay.
Yes.
I know it was a show for one season, then Arrow came about, brought him back, then they put it on the Seed, but I guess I wasn't thinking about the fact that it's animated.
Yes.
Either way.
Scrapped.
Nice to see him. Yes. And his magical cigarettes.
And his accent.
Okay, yeah, love the accent. All the guys watching the show are like, why is it all women? Anyway. But it was nice to see Sarah interact with Mia, because Sarah has a history with him. Shit. Sarah has a history with Oliver. They had a romance, guys. And then now she's with the daughter of the ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool for her to see how Mia is just like her dad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that to say that. It was this. That's how this episode was for me. A lot.
Yes. Yes. That's the best way to describe it.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I have to say about that, guys. Sorry. I'm like trying to keep track of everything that happened. Nice to see Ray as both Clark Kent and he's still Ray. Yeah. And then they see each other on the present. And I was like, why did they do that? Is that weird to anybody else?
It was weird.
That he's a Clark Kent on another universe?
I don't think it's the only person you're going to see be someone else in this particular thing. No.
Hmm. Do you guys think that bringing Oliver back is going to end well, or they're going to have to just kill crazy Oliver because they can't bring his soul back?
In Arrowverse terms, it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
If we're talking about the Arrowverse specifically, that never tends to go well.
I mean, Sarah went okay.
But, like, even, like, think about just in all the times that they've done the Lazarus Pit, there was always some sort of hiccup that it causes after
right,
they bring
a bloodlust.
And... you know, like when they brought back his sister, like, there's all those things. You kind of have to. But without a soul, like they said, Oliver without a soul is.
It's not Oliver.
Right.
It's going to be Oliver when he was on the island before he.
Worse.
Yeah, I know. Like, it's going to be bad.
Yeah. And that's a distraction from the main point, which the main point is to save all of the Earth. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about Lila yet. So Lila's the one who is just not facilitating everything by any means, but she's like the right-hand man to the monitor, and she's really getting on my nerves. If anybody follows me on Arrow, I'm like, I thought for sure she was going to die. Like, can we get rid of some of the excess characters that we don't need right now? Her being one of them.
Sure. Let's do it.
Is anybody else on my ship?
I'll be on your side. Let's do it.
Okay. Anyway. So we didn't get a lot of Batwoman in this crossover, unfortunately. And again, it's because we're squeezing in all these characters into 40 minutes of an episode.
Yes.
So they touch lightly on the whole Alice thing, but not really.
Yeah.
And I feel like once we get back in January, it's just going to, I don't know, be like Crisis never happened. Like they always do. Yeah. You're just like, yeah, mm-hmm. whatever.
Go ahead.
I mean, I would like them to at least incorporate that photo that they showed us.
Oh, or with
like,
that?
Yeah, can they at least add or touch or do something with that? I don't know.
Isn't that crazy, though? I mean, if you put yourself in the shoes of some of our characters and you get to see different versions of different Earths, mm-hmm. and it's like you, but it's not you. And you see stuff like that. Like, for example, Bruce Wayne mentioning that Kate Kane died, putting on the bat suit, trying to clean up his mess. Mm-hmm. You know, and then you see this picture of you and your sister, and it's like, oh.
Yeah.
How weird to know another me is living somewhere, having the life I wish I had.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I think it was smart of them in the sense, like, usually the crossovers are kind of in the middle of the season or the second part of the season. So if you miss, like, if you don't watch the other episodes, you'll miss major plot points. Like, mm-hmm. you know, with the crossover when Oliver got married and Barry got married. If you didn't actually watch Legends of Tomorrow, you wouldn't have even known it if you watched just The Flash or just The Arrow. Like, right. you would not have known that. So in this sense, I like that they're doing it. Like, we had the finale last week, and then it's kind of like a separate event. Uh-huh. So we don't, like, if you don't watch all of it, it probably should be okay. So I thought that was clever on their part to be like, we're doing the series finale or the mid-season finale, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and this is a separate thing. I thought that was a smart move on it this year. Yeah. Because like I said, last week's mm-hmm. is totally not necessarily relevant to this week's.
Right.
So you could just be like, I'm going to skip this episode.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't really hurt too much in the Batwoman world.
Yeah.
Right.
For the most part. I mean, that we know of yet. Right. But yeah.
It would be cool. I mean, like you said, it'd be cool if Kate gets possession of that picture and she's able to bring it back to her Earth and show it to Beth and be like, look, like this is what we could be.
Yeah.
Just open your heart.
Or what would that say or do or transpire through her body if she saw that photo?
Right.
Because, you know, she looks extremely happy.
Yeah.
They're living the time of their, or they're having the time of their life.
Right.
Yeah.
But people in the chat, they're saying that they kind of disagree. They say the crossover has major consequences if you don't watch. If you could, please give some examples.
Well, yeah, because I'm trying to figure out, okay, consequences when we get back into the regular season for Batwoman. Because I feel like in the past, it gets a light mention.
Yeah, in the past.
That's it. Except for when Barry changed the entire timeline.
Yes, of course.
Okay, that affected everything. I lie.
Yeah.
Or are you saying more on the fact that it's affecting the entire DC world? Or are you referencing back to the Batwoman world? Because the conversation that's playing is kind of a mix of the two. So mm-hmm. if you have to elaborate.
Also,
please.
TBD, we'll see. I'm just speculating at the moment. So
true. We're not there yet.
We got a lot of Kara, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, and the fact that there's still a couple of Guardians that they don't know who is who. Not Guardians, but
Paragons.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Correct. There's two more now we need, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm curious who they're going to be. Like, I mean, we're going to bring in Black Lightning, so he could possibly be one. But other than that, any other characters that are going to be brought in, I don't think there's anyone else new coming along for the journey. But I could be wrong. Oh, I loved, by the way, what's his bucket? Wrote it down. You guys are going to, like, hate me. I'm like, Mick Roy. Hold, please, while I find him. The guy with the romance novels.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's from Legends.
Yes, he's from Legends.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not a fan of Legends, guys. Please don't hate me.
I can't remember enough at the moment either.
Either way, I love the fact that he's this big old, like, hard dude, and he's writing romance novels and reading them to infants. I was like, I like you. You're kind of fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, it'd be great if he was one of them.
Yeah, he had that little bit that you needed to break up all the intensity of the episode. He had that little bit of relief to just be like, okay, I can laugh, I can smile, this is good. And you needed that in a such super heavy episode.
Yeah.
He's going to be the paragon of passion.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my prediction.
Okay.
I don't know. We're not really into predictions. But you know what I mean? Like, that's what's going to happen. Goodness gracious. Okay, in the chat, if there is something that we've left out, let us know. Because, again, there wasn't a lot of Batwoman per se in this particular episode of the crossover, but there was a lot going on. I think we focused a lot on the consequences of Oliver Queen's death. We have the Anti-Monitor who shows up. Or was that in the preview for next
episode? That was at the end.
Okay. So we finally got to see the face of the Anti-Monitor, who's quite scary. And we have the Monitor who's losing his powers. Mm-hmm. Because, Sarah kept on arguing with him, or was it Mia? Like, why can't you bring Oliver back? If you could bring old boy Lex Luthor back, well, my powers are waning. You know what? You knew that Oliver was going to die for a while, so I'm going to need you to bottle up some powers and keep it off to the side to bring him back.
That's true, because you said they were talking about it the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although, very important detail is the fact that the Monitor said he was supposed to perish in Crisis, but not this way. Like, he fought fate to an extent in that he was supposed to disappear, and instead he stayed behind to fight the demons. How do you guys feel about these demons, P.S., by the way? Like, all season long, they didn't talk about it in Batwoman, but in Arrow, and I do believe in Flash, they were talking about the crisis is happening, the crisis is going to happen, and when they do, it's just going to destroy all the Earths. And I'm like, okay, so what is this thing that's going to destroy all the Earths? And it's these little demon things that turn into black when you shoot them, right? Anybody else a little bit disappointed by these demons?
Yeah. They turn into dust.
Right. But as far as, like, I feel like they're just fighting ghosts.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of them, so I mean,
that don't even talk. Like, that's what makes them also, to me, like, a really shitty villain. Like, they don't talk. They just come, they wipe out an Earth and keep it moving. Does it tick anybody else off? It's a really shitty villain. I want a villain with motive. I want reason. I want to have 2 seconds of empathy because I almost feel bad for them, like Alice. Mm-hmm. And then I turn around and I hate them again. But when you are a voiceless villain of smoke and dust that just hovers.
It's pointless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel you.
At the end of the day, so we have the Anti-Monitor. Who here trusts the actual Monitor and thinks that he's out for the good of the world? Raise of hands. Raise of your clickers.
Clicks.
Mouses.
Clicks.
Chaz. You're wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't, like I said, I don't really ever trust most people's motives in this universe.
Right.
There's always some other thing going on that...
It's like he's trying to Mr. Miyagi people. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he was talking to Oliver or somebody, and he was saying, well, you wouldn't have tried as hard if you didn't think X, Y, and Z was really at stake. So basically you lied to get what you want. And I feel like you would have gotten a lot farther with this group if you would have just told the truth. Like, explain everything in depth, in detail. How do I prepare? How do I get ready for this? And then maybe I can trust you. But because he's, like, secretive and trying to go about it in a very poetic way, I'm like, you and your weird dreads that are glued on your head can go somewhere.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people in the chat trust him.
Really?
Yeah, Furious Citizen, Quake, Cupcake, Brit. Yeah. The Monitor may not be a villain, but he is a bad word.
Good. Who said that? Who said that?
Ivan Soto.
Thanks. High five through the screen. Look, I think that he is trying to save something on some level, but I feel like it almost comes from a selfish place versus
and there's
a
major things he's leaving out.
Yeah. I'm manipulating people. Yeah. And then we also end the episode with Lila hearing all these voices and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, okay, what's really happening?
I don't like her.
Yeah, I don't either. I haven't liked for a real long time. That's all I'm going to say. P.S. Last thing I'm going to say about this episode is that Diggle does not know that Oliver is dead. Where the hell is Diggle in this crisis?
Yeah, I was wondering that too. Like, literally, I kept wondering when he's going to show up.
Why is that? Yeah, I'm like, why are none of the characters from Arrow outside of Oliver and his daughter involved? Like, where did everybody go?
Yeah. So, I'm assuming we'll see them. In January on the Arrow episode.
Like, you're not going to show up until after Oliver dies? Like, wouldn't you guys come for support prior to prevent the death? Just saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. Either way, okay, so that's like my overall. Any thoughts, comments, concerns? Did I leave anything out?
I think we covered as much as we possibly could.
Yeah. It's a very one and done because so much was happening, and every time you get something, it's such a small nugget in the show, like such a small clip. That you don't even have time to get attached to the storyline because you're already talking about somebody else's
and
story.
And there's nothing resolved yet, so.
That's true. We're only in part two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, if our co-hosts don't have any issues.
No, they want you to say that the demon things are antimatter wave.
Okay.
So to please correct yourself.
I will.
Not the shadow demons.
For correction. By the way, the chat has been saying it over and over again.
Okay.
So the demons are just dogs of war, potentially. By the way, this is Vito in the booth.
Yeah.
The antimatter wave is apparently what is destroying the Earths, not the demons.
Not the demons.
Got it. Thought the demons were part of the antimatter wave.
Apparently, they're just like minions of it.
Got it. Well, still. Okay, then having said that, do you not feel that the antimatter wave is a different choice in villain? Just leave it that way. How about that? Not my favorite villain. I think that there's another villain behind it. Honestly, I mean, that can't be just me. Whether it's obviously the anti-monitor, but we're just now seeing him. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. People have been so mad at me. I'm sorry. I think that's just like me and crossovers. I'm like, okay.
It's fine. Right. They still support us.
All right. Well,
thank you, everyone.
They're saying thanks to Vito.
Thank you, Vito. Thank you guys for your patience. Apologize that I skipped over that detail. And I would like to talk about some news and gossip.
All right. Yay. Let's go back into our Bat World. Back into the Bat World. There is an article on Entertainment Weekly by Nicole King, who plays Mary, and how she's still reacting to that fall mid-series finale.
Uh-huh.
She's saying that it wrecked her.
Yeah, it was very emotional.
It was very emotional, and it's still to, like, when did they film this? What, months and months ago? Mm-hmm. And still, when she watches it, it just gives her that pain because losing a parent and her only parent, technically, in this series is so significant to a person's life and that it changes them to forever. So she hoped that the audience would feel and sense and connect with her on that level and just kind of give hope for Mary and see where it goes moving forward.
I thought that scene was great too because it gave her as an actor the opportunity to really showcase what she's got. And as an actor, like, when you are doing a scene like that, you do have to put yourself in a really dark place that sometimes when you're like so good at your job, you get stuck there and you have to figure out how to get yourself out because you'll go home and you're still crying. You don't even know why you're crying, but you're still crying. So it's definitely emotionally very cathartic, if you will. But anyways, that's...
Yeah, it's so cool to hear her say stuff like, it's hard to even think about my character moving forward. Like, that just shows how in it she is and committed to her character, like you said, is she can't even... like move forward and she's already filmed like the whole series still like I don't know what she's gonna do next. So it's really cute of her.
I also want to say too, because I know tonight I came into this episode me personally with a lot of opinions especially about the crossover because that's just how I feel, and I know that sometimes it can upset people at home, or maybe you agree with me. It's to each is their own, but I think that AfterBuzz is such a great place because it allows us to all share from where we connect and where we believe. And sometimes we don't share the same opinion. And that is totally okay.
Totally fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I put that out there because I know sometimes people get so mad, whether it's on our show or other shows, and they start speaking their opinion, but in a very disrespectful way. And I just think that's not cool. So just putting it out there, like, I agree to disagree with you. If you don't agree, that is A-okay. But to all the hosts out there, just know that everyone's allowed to think their thing, you know?
Yeah.
We respect each other from a different...
Claps. Yay. Yep. Claps.
All right.
For you guys.
That said, Batwoman is now going to be going on a big break.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So you guys enjoy your holidays. We're going to have an amazing time.
Yeah,
we're going to miss Batwoman
so much.
So I'm going to turn it to the front. I'm going to let you say hello and goodbye to all of us. We're going to wish you a merry holiday and a happy new year. And we're going to see when we pick up again for Batwoman in January. So until then, follow us all. I'm your host at Ellie Kona Bradford with, Shane. That's never been my handle. Yours truly, Ellie Kona Bradford, with underscores in between. Find me on Instagram. I'm there the most.
And you can find me on Instagram at @story_of_Samantha.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @KT_Christine or on other shows here at AfterBuzz along with these ladies.
Yes, I'll see you guys for Arrow tomorrow. And the rest of you guys, mwah, mwah. See you next year.
Bye.
Happy holidays.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.